Starting with the children's favorite part of the Haggadah. Ma nishtana halayla hazeh. Everyone know that one?
What? I don't know if it's their favorite.
Okay, my children's favorite. They're all very excited to sing the Ma nishtana song. Right? So, who here knows the Ma nishtana song? Raise your hands. Michael. Danny. You know the Ma nishtana song? Very good. David? Okay, good. Everyone knows it. Good. Okay. So, before we launch into the four questions as to how this night of the sky is being different, first, just to pay some attention to the description that we say of Manishtana Halayla Hazeh. Do we have any Hebrew grammar experts in the crowd? Masculine, feminine, can you identify masculine, feminine words? Manishtana Halayla Hazeh? Chaim? No, those are not nouns. Yeah. But next one.
Manishtana Halayla. The night has zeh.
This one. Now that word zeh can be either zeh or it can be zos. So what is zeh?
Zeh is masculine.
Zeh is masculine. Very good. And Lila, says Danny, is feminine, which is a rule break, right? If Lila is feminine, we should have said Manishtana Halayla Hazos.
Different.
What?
That's one of the reasons why it's different.
Very good, David. Very good. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. You're mechaber to the Vilna Gaon. But do you want to explain to us what you mean by that?
Because just in the wording itself, it's already showing a difference in that.
Right. And therefore? We'll stop there. Okay, well, the rest we'll leave up to the Vilna Gaon to explain.
That's easy. Even the Rama could explain.
So the Gaon explains that the real depth of the question over here is, why is this night different? That it's a zeh, it's a masculine. Malishna Laila hazeh. Why is this night a masculine night and not a feminine night like other nights? And the truth is that there's an allusion, the first word over here, although we used the song Manishtana, but it should have said maybe Lamanishtana. Why is this night different? Manishtana is what different? So Baume with you in what? But ma itself is a difficult word. So this is a little bit above our pay grade over here. But would you say like this? The term ma is a term that alludes to the divine name in a masculine form. Okay, so ma is the numerical value of Hashem's name in a masculine form. We just leave that for now as just a fact. Maybe sometime later we'll get to address that. But in a very simple way, ma is numerical value 45, which is also the numerical value Adam. Adam, man. So ma is a way to allude to Adam, to man. And the question is, we're saying ma, a male nishtana halayla hazeh. This night has changed into a male night. It's a zeh night. It's a masculine night. What does that mean? A masculine night, a feminine night? David, you You must have learned this whole grow up, so I'm not letting you answer until we get to the next piece. Okay, you know all the answers, okay?
I was gonna say it's there.
You what?
Well, does it have to do with like the idea of kind of the, for Shabbos you have like the Shekhinah, right?
The Shekhinah, right?
The Shekhinah, where there's
that's the feminine,
the feminine
aspect. Good.
So it's kind of like, you know, Shabbos is like, it's like you're making space. You're refraining from doing.
Well, Shabbos. So the truth is that it's important to know, Hanan. The Shabbos has both revelations of the Shekhinah, of the divine presence, the feminine manifestation of Hashem. And also has the masculine manifestation during the daytime meal. So during the nighttime meal is usually the feminine meal. Again, the night, Laila, is a feminine word. We'll hopefully say a lot more than that minute, but for now, so that's has a feminine aspect. And then the daytime is usually the masculine. Like for example, by Sudishlishis, what we sing. The Askinu Sudasa at the third meal, so you'll notice if you pay attention, there's truly actually three Askinu Sudasas that were written, one for the night meal, one for the Shabbos morning meal, one for the third meal. And each one of them is a little bit different, emphasizing which one of the manifestations of Hashem we have in our lives at that time. So again, nonetheless, the question stands, why are nights feminine and day masculine? So, in order to understand this, we have to understand on a very simple level, start with the fact that women are commanded in what kind of mitzvahs? What? So we'll start with, women are commanded in all negative commandments. All prohibitions, women are commanded in. Whereas positive commandments, usually not, unless it's not time bound. Right, so, whereas men are commanded in all time bound mitzvahs. So, in other words, the women definitely, again, women definitely negative commandments, all negative commandments. And sometimes positive commandments, certain positive commandments also, men, all positive commandments as well. Says the Vilna Gaon, the same thing is true for day and night. All mitzvahs are mitzvahs on the daytime. Many mitzvahs can only be performed during the daytime. But even the mitzvahs that can be performed at nighttime are usually mitzvahs that are, it's a mitzvah to do during the day, but you can continue it into the night, you can still do it into the night if you haven't had a chance or whatever it may be. But never ever do we have that we have a mitzvah which is uniquely meant to be done at night.
No.
Hold on. Kriya Shema is not unique for night. Kriya Shema, we say it in the morning, we say it at night. That's just the point, is that it needs to be said also at night. Sphira is, you're counting the day. Now the beginning of the day is at night over there, but you're counting the day. Kiddush is, you're sanctifying the day. It's not the point that you need the night. For example, if you didn't make Kiddush Shabbos night, you can still make Kiddush Shabbos day. If you didn't count the Sphira at the night, you can still count it during the day. Right? So that's a din on the day. Now it just happens to be that the day begins with the night. Yeah. But to have a mitzvah which has to do with being performed specifically at night, that's a unique thing. Which mitzvah, by the way, are we talking about? Talking about the here we have the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach must be eaten at night specifically, right? Whether it be up until midnight or the entire night, but certainly everybody agrees that by the time the break of dawn, you can no longer eat the Korban Pesach. It must be eaten at night. And the same thing is true for the matzah and the maror and the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So this night is a completely different creature than all the other nights that we know. This night has been transformed into a day. It's become like a daytime. Ma nishtana ma, an adam, it's become masculine. Halayla hazeh, this night has become a zeh, it's become masculine, unlike all the other nights. Mikol halaylos, laylos, the vav tough ending, it's feminine plural, right? All of them are feminine, but this one has become masculinized in the sense that it has time-bound positive commandments that are specifically meant to be done at night. Now, why? The obvious question is, why is that the case? Sorry, Yossi, you want to ask a question?
No, that last part you clarified.
Okay. Now the question is,
because we left it.
So the truth, we didn't leave at night. We left in the morning. That was a mistake. Because the Chumash says black and white that we left in the morning. At the middle of the night is when the Makas Bechoros happened, the killing of the firstborn, and at that point, the Egyptians said we could leave. I mean, at that point, we had permission to leave. We didn't leave until the morning. Say again?
It's time-bound that everyone is obligated there.
The mitzvahs of
it's a time-bound mitzvah that everyone is obligated in.
That's true. That's a unique limud. I mean, that's not coming from here, but it is true that women are obligated in these mitzvahs. But the point is what's going on over here? The Torah is commanding us all these positive commandments to be done at night. Okay, so we were just covering in the Derech Hashem the concept that usually nighttime is a time for
resting,
sleeping. Okay, true. But also, what happens then? Exactly, right. Negative spiritual forces are abound, right? And why is that? Well, we have to understand that Zelu Mazeh Asai Elokim. Hashem created the world. This corresponds to that. Whatever you're on the side of good, you're on the side of evil. To give man free will. Yeah? So, therefore, just like there's daytime, which is a time of ability to go and do and serve Hashem and do positive mitzvahs and do tikkun olam to fix up the world, right? There's also nighttime for the criminals to break the world, for the avaryanim to go and engage in all sorts of negative behavior. People that commit averus, transgressors, bad players. Yeah? So the job that we have during the day and during the night is very different. During Shlomo Melech says, "Sur meirav ve'asei tov." Stay away from evil and do good. These are two different things that we're supposed to do. One, stay away from doing bad. Number two, do good. Now, when is the greatest temptation to do bad? Michael?
The greatest temptation.
To do bad. Nighttime, exactly. Right? Because night, under the guise of darkness, right? That's when all the nightclubs and all the bad places are, that's when they're all open, that's when all they're all making their money, right? All the underworld, right? That's when all the predators come out of their caves, right? Is during nighttime. So the job that we have at nighttime is primarily sur meira. Stay away from doing bad. If you could divide up your life, during the daytime you do good, And during nighttime, make sure you don't start to do bad. That's already, you're doing well. Yeah, you get it, and that's what Yosef said. Make sure you get a good night's sleep. Go to sleep early. You know, usually the guy is like, yeah, I'm really tired. I was up really late last night. Don't ask him what he was doing. It either wasn't good, or it certainly, you know, I mean, it either was bad, or it certainly wasn't good. Usually. Right? Like the healthy guy that like, yeah, I know you have the excuse. No, I was writing up papers for my classes.
College, it's different.
Yeah, but if you want to be really successful in college, you know what you do? You do it early in the morning. Right? Listen to Michael. He went to dental school. He knows, right? Go to bed at 10 o'clock. Wake up nice and early. 4 in the morning. Go for a little jog. Go for a little run. And then dig into it. Yeah? So hanging out in the coffee shop, drinking your fifth espresso to stay up. It's not doing anybody any favors. Anyway, so the point is that the nighttime has to do with Sur Meira, staying away from evil, negative commandments. That's when negative commandments are at the forefront. And daytime is Asay Tov. That's when positive commandments are at the forefront, because daytime is when you can go and do things. Fundamentally, positive commandments, the overarching way to refer to all positive commandments, the many of the Sfarim, is the term for all of them, catch-all term is Gmilus Kasadim. Doing acts of kindness. The world stands on three things: Torah, Avodah, and Gmilus Kasadim. Torah, divine service, I mean prayer or sacrifice in the temple, and Gmilus Kasadim, acts of kindness. And what about all the mitzvahs? Where all the mitzvahs go? Exactly. Sezer of Tzaddik, they're all under the umbrella of Gmilus Chasadim. Because really, all mitzvahs is you're going out to do something good in the world, to improve the world one way or another. And sometimes it entails bringing food to a elderly person that needs help or whatever it is, right? And sometimes it's shaking a lulav. But both of them are done during the day. Don't go bring the elderly woman food in the middle of the night. Okay, you scare the living daylights out of her. Okay, so that is the division. Women are obligated in negative commandments. The main thing is to stay away from evil, from doing bad. That obviously that has to do with the fact that women are more involved in this world. Hava was the one that was tempted to go after the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, right? Whereas men are trying to be dedicating as much time as they can towards learning of Torah, fulfillment of mitzvahs, etc. So that's more daytime activities.
That's counter to their nature.
To whose nature?
Men and women. It's like why women are out more of a nighttime versus men are at daytime. I mean, like, I feel like if men were going to not do something, if they were not supposed to be so busy, that they would fall into like maybe doing negative things. Whereas women would not have that nature.
No, men tend to be more extroverts, more go-getter, proactive, A-type personalities. So daytime is good for that. Daytime is good for getting out of the house. Yeah, we are built to do what we do. Hashem built us. Men were built to go and do, and women were built more introverted, more to themselves and to keep the home. Again, these are gross generalizations, of course. There's many people that are some sort of a combination or even sometimes a crossover in personalities, and that's fine. They don't need any gender alteration or anything. That's fine. You can have masculine ladies and you can have feminine men. That's totally cool. We love everybody the way they're made, the way that they're created, not the way that they're perverted.
I was gonna say this is a Leo Shibori, so it's different.
Very good. Okay, so Shlomo is pointing out that this night is different from all the nights. Like it's a masculine night. In what way? It's a Leil Shimurim. It's a night. Usually night is dangerous. Night is a night, is a time of negative forces in the world. Dangerous to go outside. You shouldn't go outside at night, right? And yet this night is a Leil Shimurim. It's a night of protection. That it's a safe night. It's a safe night. Manish tana laila ze. Shimurim. Shimurim. Guarding. It's a pasuk. It's a pasuk. So that's exactly right. So this night it has been transformed to this masculine, has been elevated, right? So usually when there is a Zelu Masaya Salokim, Hashem made everything on the good side, he made on the bad side. The daytime has the nighttime opposite. On Pesach, on the first night of Pesach, Hashem breaks all the rules and he just blows the Yetzer Hara out of the water. No Zelu Mazel Asalukim. The Yetzer Hara has like no chance on this night. It's just broad daylight in the middle of the night. Gilu Shechina, the revelation of Divine Presence in the middle of the night. That's the Makas Bechoros happened through the Gilu Shechina. The killing of the firstborn happened through the revelation of Divine Presence in Egypt in the middle of the night. In the midst of the darkness. Right? So this is a time when even the night is completely, so to speak, illuminated by the Divine Presence and transformed to be like a daytime. More and incomparable. Like other Yom Tov do not have that. In fact, the first night of Sukkot, for example, lacks the Simcha because it's just the night. It doesn't yet have the day. Afterwards, once you have the day, then you have night. But so this is unique to Pesach.
We don't have
Amphilah. Exactly.
But if we say it, would there be a Brahma Bhagavad?
I'm sorry?
If it was said, would there be a Brahma?
Okay. So we're saying that this is the one answer. How did this night become a masculine night? Ma nishtana. It was changed to be a ma. To be a Adam. It was changed to become a Hazeh from all the nights Leilos. And that was through this tremendous, you know, just Hashem turning on the floodlights, turning night into day. That's on a simple level. We can add that the feminine attribute is usually that characterizes the Jewish people. Between Hashem and the Jewish people, we are like the bride. Hashem is the groom under the Har Sinai, the receiving of the Torah. It was like a chuppah. So we are the feminine. Hashem is the masculine in that regard, and which means that there's a big concept out there called Mayim Nukvim, feminine waters. In other words, that the wife desiring her husband, or the wife asking her husband for something, whatever it is, makes it that he wants to provide her with that thing. Okay, so that's usually how it works. Usually, the nighttime is a time where we call out to Hashem. That's our time of difficulty, whatever it is, and then Hashem answers, and that's daytime. That would be representative of daytime. But here, Hashem is saying, it's all me. You guys don't have to be deserving of being redeemed. You don't have to have enough merits. We have some little tiny bit of merits Hashem gave us, but Fundamentally, Hashem said, "I'm doing it because I knew, because this is what I decided is going to happen." So that's again a masculine thing, that even during the night, I usually, it's the day cut in half, half for us, so to speak, and half for Hashem. We stay away from doing bad, and Hashem will help do good. But here, it's Hashem is doing everything. There's a incredible hint throughout the Torah that the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero, points out, and that is that there's a number of places where the word Na'ara is written Na'ar. Na'ara means a young lady, and sometimes it's written without a hey. Looks like Nar. Nar would be a young man. That's pretty strange. Right? It's like, it happens a lot. So why is that the case? So the Ramak says that just like we see that Hashem created Adam and Chava, and He brought them together, and they were one flesh, and He called them. Anyone? Or what Hashem called the two of them together? Adam. Very good. And they're called Adam. Wait a second. I thought you said Adam plus Chava together equals. You expect that? Answer is no. It equals Adam, right? So because she's a completion to him. She is the Ezer Kenegdo. So when they're apart, they have two different names. But when they come together, they become just the perfected Adam. You know, you can add Adam with a capital Aleph, right? So too with the night. Nighttime, when by itself, is bad. When by itself is a time of spiritual impurity, of negative forces, etc. But when all that negativity can be brought into the fold, connected with the day, where the night really, like we spoke about a number of times, what's the job at night?
Stay away from the bed,
very good. And then there's an extra thing we could do, which makes it not only staying away from the bed, but actually lays the groundwork for doing really good things. We spoke about it Thursday, maybe last week or the week before, about why Moshe Rabbeinu added an extra day. Exactly. By looking at what's broken in this day, I mean, not, first of all, not doing bad. And then saying, you know what? Why am I tempted to be doing these negative things? Why am I tempted to do those things? Let me analyze. Let me think. Let me introspect. Now, for introspection, what's better, daytime or nighttime? Nighttime is better, right? Why? What? Why is nighttime better for introspection? Anyone?
Well, if you're staying away from the bad things, you know, you're pulling in and you're focusing, and during the day you're busy with things. So the nighttime, you're staying away from the bad things. So then, you know, you have these bad forces all around you. So you're remorseful. You're staying away from them. You're
very good. So first, very good. So I think I heard a couple of things what Hanan just said. First of all, during daytime you're busy, which means there's a lot of noise, a lot of outside noise, like, you know, cars are zooming by and people are yelling and this and all sorts of noise and phone calls are ringing and whatever. You're busy, you're getting the food for the old lady and you're helping her cross the street and all the other good things that you do, right? And there's not so much quiet, there's not so much time to introspect. But during nighttime, things go quiet. You can't see, it goes dark. Nothing to see, to draw your attention outwards. So rather you focus your attention inwards during the night. And more than that, that when you have the Yetzer Hara pulling on you in different directions, you all of a sudden get an insight, oh, I thought I was done with that Yetzer Hara. Like, I didn't realize that I actually, you know, really dislike this person, you know, like I'm hearing all these emotions that I have, or I didn't realize that I was jealous of that, or I didn't realize that I was craving this. So, okay, good, now I know. So now I can have a plan for tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'm going to work on these things. So now, what do we just do? We managed to transform the nighttime to really be a part of the time of action. I mean, part of action is you need a plan of action. You need to know what you're going to be doing. If you don't know what you're going to be doing, then you can't do it. So now, so if you use the nighttime correctly, then you're actually making it a part of the daytime. And that's going to be a Laila Hazeh. That's a masculine night. Okay? So
is Pesach is introspective?
Pesach is
no, it's about doing mitzvahs.
We're able to literally do the mitzvah. Usually, the most we can get on a regular night
is
introspect and a way to prepare. But like maximum, but like when literally all evil is annihilated, right? Which is what's happening on Pesach. The firstborn of Egypt are all dying, and in fact, even the Yitzhahara inside of us is dying. The Chometz has already been eradicated. The Avodah Zarah has been shechted. This is like such levels that even with the nighttime has become daytime, we can even be doing mitzvahs.
So it's the ultimate form
so during the of the night.
We can kind
of
get close, introspect. It's kind of like
exactly.
Pesach's like full on sun's out.
That's right. That's right. Like you know, Lashed Lavo type of, like you know, the next world type of a reality where everything is just radiance Pasha. Okay. Excellent.
So Hashem purposely has the Seder at night for those mitzvahs to make that point that the night is essentially the daytime where everything is, Hashem is revealed, everything is.
Right, because remember, the firstborn were killed specifically at midnight because midnight is the peak of the power of the negative forces. Right? That's why Tikkun Chatzos has to be done after midnight. You cannot do it until midnight. Because the negative forces are kind of in charge of the show, right? And Hashem says, right there, the very peak of it, I'm going to unplug the system. I'm going to smash all those idols. I'm going to kill those firstborn and liberate my people.
We don't have any Yetzer Hara.
Theoretically, on that night, we can reach a level. There's a special, every Yom Tov has special Segulas Hayom, a unique spiritual quality to that day, which allows us to do things more powerfully than we could otherwise. Now, you know, different people are holding on different levels, right? Like, Klausel, on that night, the Jewish people that were literally in Egypt and they saw the Makas Bechoros, they lost their free will. They literally lost their free will. There was a Gilu Eshkina, there was a divine revelation happening right in front of their eyes that caused all the firstborn of Egypt to die, and we all became Hashem's people. So that was a level of loss of free will. Now, can we honestly say that we are on that level, bepoil, like actually practically on that level? No. But is there some of that happening? Is there some sort of a taste of that? Is there something in that day that there is an ability to massively liberate oneself from the Yetzer Hara? Yes, absolutely there is.
Is that from a logistical standpoint or a practical standpoint, does that mean like having that kavana throughout the Seder, or is that saying over the story really well? Like, what is that? Or eating that avikoman really well? Like, what is that?
Yeah, all three of those.
All three of those.
Yep.
At the same time.
Good. Okay. Yeah, and we see, right? That's the questions go on and say, right? That we have that we're dipping our food, which is a way that fancy people eat, right? You know, if you're just looking to fill your dietary needs, you probably don't need ketchup and mustard and ranch dressing and all those things. I would imagine they're not super nutritious. Yeah.
The other things are junk.
So anyway.
Mustard with sugar.
No, mustard without sugar is very good.
Okay. So dipping into all those things is always for a tainug, right? You can eat whatever you're eating without the dips. The dips, the sauces, gravies, those are always to add the extra pleasure. That's how blechorn, that's how fancy people eat, right? And obviously we're reclining, that's also, we're liberated. And matzah is bread of freedom, like we discussed. And the mara, even the bitterness that we had, even the slave servitude that we had before, has now been transformed to being that we're seeing how really the whole time Hashem was running the show. So that's also a part of the story of breaking away from the powers of evil and going out to liberty. Okay. Next, Avodim Ayinu L'Faro B'Mitzrayim. So the sages say that we Maschil B'Gnus U'Mesayim B'Shvach. You begin the story of Pesach by talking about the negativity. We were servants to Paro in Egypt, and then Hashem took us out. So why is there this need for contrast? So what is that? That's not, the question was, why is there a need for contrast? Rav and Shmuel both agree there's a need for contrast. So first of all, on a simple level, very common saying that the sages say that from the darkness the light is ever more recognizable. The contrast shows you how incredible it was, right? That we went from such a bad situation to such an incredible situation. But there's something much deeper happening here. The Maral says, maybe we'll give a little bit of an analogy. Someone, like the stories that everyone loves is, someone says, you know, I had this financial difficulties and I was down like a lot of money. I had no idea where I was going to get it, and they were going to, like, you know, impound my car and take away my house if I didn't come up with $32,000 by tomorrow, right? And what do you know, my great uncle three times removed, who lives in Australia, passed away, and I get a check for $32,000. What do you think about that story, Danny? What? Oh yeah, right, exactly. It looks like there's somebody pulling the strings behind. This is not a coincidence. Danny, right away, he goes to Northwestern. He figured this thing out right away. This was not just a coincidence, right? Now let's contrast that story with another story. I was doing fine, you know, it wasn't particularly doing great, but I was doing okay. I really wanted to get myself like a nice fancy car, and then my great uncle, twice removed, who was in Australia, passed away, and I got a check for $32,000. Is that a cool story? You'd be happy if you were the guy. But the story, but you, the listener of the story, why is the story not as good?
No attention. No, you know, I you're not invested in this person.
True, but you can say better.
It's not exactly.
Yeah, that is not exactly. There's no fit. There's no fit. It's a nice thing, but it's not fitting. You said fit. In the first story, there was a fit. A fit means there was a empty place, and the thing came in and clicked right in. Right? It fit in. It's a perfect fit, right? Whereas in the other story, there was no lack, there was no emptiness, and the thing just plopped down in the middle. It could have plopped down over here, could have plopped down over there, could have been a bit bigger, could have been a bit smaller, could have been shaped a bit differently, right? Could have gotten 5 payments of $6,000. Well, that wouldn't be enough. And then $6,400, right? 5 payments, right? But in our story, that wouldn't have good. I needed, the very next day, he needed $32,000, right? So the point is that when you first show that there is a need, and then that need is met, then it becomes apparent that someone was meeting your need. That's what Danny picked up on, that there was something at play over here, something more going on, right? So Hashem is clearly, there's no way, are you serious? On that day specifically, $32,000, that was a sign from Hashem. Right? So too, when we show how we're in such a desperate situation, we're literally at the very end. Chazal say that if we would have stayed in that situation any longer, that would have been the end of it. It would have been no turning back. We were going off the edge of a cliff already, right? And exactly at that time, all these things start happening, right? That's not a coincidence. That's a massive revelation. So, Maschilin Begnus, we begin with our lowliness, and then we go over to the praise to the good things. Next, we notice that there were two things happening here. Avadim ayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. We were avadim, and that was to Paro in Egypt. So there's one from who we are. We were avadim, and that would be true even if it wasn't to Paro in Egypt. But we were, that's who we were. We were avadim. That was our self-identity. We self-identified as avadim. Yeah. And secondly, it was to Paro in Mitzrayim. Now Paro was the most mighty king, and Mitzrayim was the most strong and impossible place to get away from. Okay, so we have the we from our own thing are so weak, so indentured, so subservient to other, and then the ones that we're indentured to were so strong, so dominant. So then we're going to need something to undo both of those. We're going to need something to undo who we are, we're going to need something to break Paro's and Mitzrayim's grip over us. V'yotzianu Hashem Elokeinu Hisham. So first of all, Hashem, of course, is the opposite of Paro, right? And he took us out b'yad chazaka uvazro netuya. Now, yad chazaka is the I think the Maharal explains this, that that Yad Chazakah is more like you have a strong hand. He doesn't explain this. I'm trying to explain what he says, but he just says that Yad Chazakah means to make it that we should no longer be avodim, that we should no longer be slaves from our own perspective. And Zronu Tuya, outstretched arm, was to get the Egyptians to let go of us. So I'm just proposing, Yad Chazakah is you have a strong hand, even if you're not moving it. Just unto yourself. You could be sitting, not even moving a limb, but you have a tremendous amount of strength in your right. Yeah, that's what I was looking at. What? Why are you laughing at Baruch for? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. So there's strong hand, right? And that's to yourself. And then there's Zeron Tuyan, outstretched arm, right? When you lift up your fist to someone, you shake it at them, right? That's threatening them to get away. So that's to get so that Yad Chazaka is undoing Avodim Hayinu, that we were servants, and Zeron Tuyan is undoing Mitzrayim, breaking their hold on us. And of course, Hashem is the one doing it to the opposite of Paro, who is enslaving us. V'ilohotzi Hakadosh Baruch Hu es avoseinu mimitzrayim. And if Hashem would not have taken us out, hareanu v'neinu v'nei v'neinu mishubadu ma'inu l'paro mimitzrayim, we would be to this day enslaved in Egypt. And that's what we said before, that we were on the verge, on the brink of complete subjugation. This was the last, the last stand. This was the last. This would have been the last straw, right? That would have broken the camel's back, right? We were on the 49th level of Tuma anymore, and we would have lost free will and lost our ability to resist. So again, just want to point out how awesome it is. Again, it's one thing, there's a war or whatever, and a unit is engaging in battle, and then in comes the cavalry and wins the battle. It's nice, but if you have, this is their last, this is like they're on their last bullets. Like, this is it. They cannot hold off anymore. The enemy's breaking through every door, every gate, they're coming in from all directions. And that's when the cavalry comes in. I'm using the military analogy because of Chaim. Right? So then, Chaim, what does that make you think of? That's not a coincidence, right? That's right. Right. Something is going on over here. Right? So that's where we were. That if we had been on the 47th level of Tuma, okay. Yeah. But the fact that we're on the very, very last little bit, and on the brink of spiritual annihilation. I like that. That's good.
We can't say that we would have been slaves forever.
Say again?
We can't say we would have been slaves forever. We're allowed today to be slaves in Egypt.
That's what it says.
Yeah, it's hard to understand. I was going to ask that as well.
There is no
Paro, there's no Mitzrayim.
Oh, that's what you're asking? Oh, so you have to remember something. You know why there's no Paro? You know why there's no Mitzrayim? Because Hashem killed their firstborn, and he destroyed all their idols, and he drowned their entire army in the sea, decimated all their, by the time this thing was over, Egypt was bombed into the Dark Ages. That depends. Empires rise and fall when there's no Bechor. No Bechor. When there's no firstborn. In other words, if in the family, right? If you have a firstborn son, he is the firstborn. He has dominance over everyone else. He gets a double portion over everyone else. What about the other brothers? What do they all get? Do they get like diminishing, sliding scale inheritance? Hanan? No, your siblings lied to you. It's not true. They all get the same, right? So the firstborn gets a double portion, and then everybody else gets the same, right? So. Egypt was the power of Bechor. In fact, the Midrash says that the name of their angel was Bechor, firstborn, and therefore no other nation could compete with them. once Hashem killed the Bechor, then now it's just kind of a bunch of siblings. You know, sometimes this one's got the upper hand, sometimes that one has the upper hand. But at that point, it was locked in.
We said it's more like the mentality on the Yidden than on the Egyptian.
No, because we just said, that we would have been Mishubadim Leparu B'Mitzrayim.
Right, but it's like it's not physical
Mitzrayim. Oh, that's for sure we can say that. Strength is not measured only by raw, might, right? Brute strength. For example, the United States of America are militarily by far and away superior to, you know, Iran or many of these other countries, and yet because there's no willpower, there's no staying power, right? They ran away from Afghanistan. They're getting attacked constantly by the even the Houthis are beating up the Americans. I mean, like, you know, this is like the Houthis. Who are the Houthis? You know, they're throwing their sandals at the battleships. they're pelting the battleships with sandals. So it's certainly strength is determined by a lot more than just the size of your guns. Okay, we gotta stop here.